Bal tashchis, it's a term that we often hear about referring to wastage, but do we really have to recycle all these photocopied sheets? Are we allowed to throw away food in order to keep up the prices? Interesting questions. People fill up their Havdalah cups to the brim and let them spill. Is that wastage? We break a glass at a wedding, a plate at an engagement. Where do the boundaries lie when it comes to the subject of Bal Tashchis? To start off, we have a Gemara in front of us. Gemara Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. I heard that Carmel Wines invite parties of school children every year to witness their disposing into the sea many gallons and gallons of their grape juice or wine to fulfill the mitzvah of Truma and Maaseh. Any onlooker might say, what a waste. But that is clearly for a mitzvah which has to be done. Where does the whole din of Bal Tashchis come from? It comes from a posuk in Shoftim. Thank you. Yes, Henry. Lo tashchis et eitzo. You don't cut down the trees, vasolo sichros. Perek kaf, posuk yud tes. You do not cut down the fruit trees. And from there, the Rishonim learn, especially the Rambam, that this can apply to any kind of unnecessary waste. The Gemara on this page refers to not tearing more than necessary al hamais, because that would be Bal Tashchis. That's in the centre of the page, but we'll have to look just at the last six lines. If you look at the sixth last line, Omar Rav, Dikla, a palm tree, which provides you with dates. The Torah cover also lemiktisei. If it can provide just one cover of fruit, you may not cut it down. Meisavei, a question was asked, Kama yehei bezais, what about an olive tree? That you don't cut it down. Rova, a quarter of a cup. A quarter of a cup of fruit? So the Gemara is saying, how can that be? You just said with a palm, the measure is one cup, and now you're saying with an olive tree, it's a quarter of a cup. Answers the Gemara, She'ani, it's different. Zeisim de chashive, because olives are considered as more important, so a lesser amount has a greater value. Omar Rabbi Chanina said, Lo shochiv shivchas beri, ela dekat tei nosof. The only reason why my son Shivchas died was because he cut down a fig tree below Zamano, which was before its time, an unwarranted act. Omar Ravina says, Vimayam u'ula b'domim muta. Ah, but Ravina says, if the value for other purposes would be more than the value of the tree, and here he's talking about possibly building in the place of that tree a person's house, then we may justify the felling of that tree. That would be the basis of many of the heterim which we are going to discuss. Tanya Naminochi, we learned also in a brisa, it says in the pasuk, Ruk eitz asher teida. Ruk means only the tree which you know. Ze ilon machol. So that's even talking about a fruit tree, which you might cut down. Ki lo eitz machol hu, where the other phrase is, where it's not a fruit tree that you could possibly cut down. Ze ilon serek, that's a wild tree which does not bear fruit. V'chime elchot shesofa l'rabos kol davar. So if we are including all trees, why say, single out, if the tree is not for food? Matam v'loma, what does it take you? Ki lo eitz machol lahakdim serek l'machol. That we will give priority, if we have to cut down a tree, to a wild tree which does not bear fruit, to one which does bear fruit. So there may be certain circumstances where you can cut down a fruit tree, albeit limited, and if you have a choice, then you will choose to cut down the wild tree instead. Strangely, this din is not brought in the Shulchan Aruch. It's in the Rambam, but the Torah Shulchan Aruch miss it out.
And the Taz actually questions this.
That in the right-hand column, at the near the bottom, Hagos Merav Ranshburg, he actually says Tamar. It's in the very small print, so you might not be able to see it. I don't understand why this din is not written in the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch. But I've seen it now written in the Taz, the Yeredel, Simon, Kuf, Tes, Zayin, Sifkot, and Zayin. In our text, if you look it up, it's Sifkot, and Vav, Beregesh, Mizeh. Strange that it's missed out. There's a Sefer Maaseh Oreg which says that the reason why it's not in the Torah Shulchan Aruch is because it's so obvious. And there are some things like Yiras Hashem, Amas Hashem, which also not written about in the Shulchan Aruch. And to cut down a fruit tree is something so fundamental that one does not do, that the Shulchan Aruch felt it's not even necessary to write about it. So it's played down a bit. In any case, says the Shulchan Ikor in his Chelek Aleph Kuf Nun Tes, that the Torah often refers to Baal Tashchis. It's not that fact that the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, want to ignore the whole din. And it's brought down. The Seichemet talks about it from the Rosh in Perek HaChovel, here at this Gemara, that if you need a place to build a house, then you can cut down a fruit tree. And this is what the Taz says there in Kuf Tes Zayin. However, there are arguments. Tosfos in Brachos, Lamad Vavam Beis doesn't seem to argue with other Rishonim as to the extent of this Isur. And there are those who say that rather you at least get a goy to do it for you rather than doing it yourself.
Or sell it to a goy.
Yes? If you sell it to a goy and the goy does it, then you're not considered responsible.
You knew all about it. You've got a few trees in this part, yeah.
But there are a number of interesting shilas which come up. For example, if trees are in a cemetery and there are trespassers who keep coming to take fruit from those trees, and as a result those trespassers are causing harm and damage to the matzevos, to the tombstones, can you remove those trees? Kerem Shloma asks this, the Bikkur Yosef refers to it, that you can. What are the reasons then for Baal Tashchis? Well, as we said, it might sound obvious. But the Sifri points out in Shoftim, he says, that Hashem himself feels bad that his creations are being destroyed. Chas ha-Torah on the Mono Shei Yisrael. And the Torah doesn't want unwanted destruction of the possessions of the Jews. There is another angle which is taken by the Sefer HaChinuch, who says in Tov Kuf Kaf Tes, Kedei lelamed nafshenu le'ahovato, in order that we can learn to love the things which Hashem has given to us. That Hashem has given us lots of nice things, and we should appreciate them. And as the Alshich says, Lahashrish b'libeinu hakoras tova, we should have hakoras hatov for the things that are given to us. Hashem gives us lots of wonderful foods, therefore we have to appreciate them. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim Perek Rav, Lo asrot Torah elo derech hashchoso, the Torah only forbade it when it's the way of unwanted destruction. But there are times when you may be able to justify it. There is another problem, and that is, when it comes to something like bread, it's written, choshim la'anius, that when there's unwanted destruction of bread, a person could have a klala placed on himself, that he could become poor as a result of what he's doing. And the way it's written, the Taz, in this reference that we quoted, that when one cuts down a fruit tree, he says, Mitmeha sakono, because there could be a danger coming to you. With other Isurim, we don't get this phrase, sakona. Sakona. We say, a danger is more great than an Isur. Sakanto chamiro mi Isura. So whereas there are various Isurei lav which you don't do, because the Torah says so, here there is a danger, and that's implied by this Gemara, where he says that his son died because he cut down a fruit tree. The Medrash Rabbah in Teruma and the Tanchum in Vayakel says that Hashem commanded that we build a Mishkan with the shittim wood. Lelamed ledoros, in order to teach future generations, that if one wants to build something, it's better to do it from a tree which does not bear fruit. So, if the Melech Malchei HaMelochim, who owns everything, asks that you build something from a tree which does not bear fruit, so for us, all the more so, we should know to try to use wood from trees which do not bear fruit. It's mashma from that, that even for a mitzvah you may not use a fruit tree, but the halacha is that you can. Sorry?
No.
No, look, you're not cutting down the tree, are you? You're taking down branches from the tree, and felling a tree is not quite the same as cutting a tree. The other thing is, if you're doing it for a mitzvah. So the Shelas Yavatz asks on this in Chelek Aleph Einvov, he says, we're talking about a Dovar Rishus, something which you can or cannot do but a Dovar Mitzvah, like building a shul. He says there's definitely no Shaila. Even the Yisrael himself can cut down, and you don't have to get a goy to do it. So says also the Sefer Aflora, where it's the Tzorach Mitzvah, and the classic example which is brought in a number of contemporary shulis is when it comes to building a sukkah. The Yichaveh Das, in Chelek Hei Memvov, and the Hatzvi and Arachayim Chelek Beis, say it's perfectly okay to cut wood off a tree for building a sukkah, although the Hatzvi prefers that you ask a goy to do it because he's still worried about this question of sakona. So the question isn't just with trees, it can be anything of utility. It can be with utensils, it can be with clothing, demolishing unnecessarily perhaps. So the Rambam says it's not just with trees, it can be with anything. And then he's implying that it's Min HaTorah, and there's Machlokes who've shown him if other kinds of destruction are Min HaTorah or Midrabbanon. But either way, it would be also. According to the Noda Behuda, the Pasuk is only about trees, and therefore other things are Drabbanon. But we're talking about a mitzvah. Well, what about if it's something like Mai Macharonim, which not everybody does, but it says Mai Macharonim Chovot. If you want to use wine, for example, to wash your hands by machoedim because you might not have water, then it's okay, says the Bach, kashi'ef shabin yonache. You haven't got anything else. But sometimes, even for a hidden mitzvah, says the Sefer Chassidim, you may use something which looks like wastage. There was a custom to pour wine in front of a chosan and kala, just as part of the dancing, as part of the celebration.
Very right.
No?
Yeah.
Rice?
I thought it was poured through pipes and then the
pot was drunk. Yeah. Well, the way it's written here in these sources, it's implying that some of it was wasted and therefore it was nevertheless okay. Now, the question of my macharonim, the Mishnah Brewer prefers to be machmir that Yayin, wine, is something chashuv, you really don't want to waste it. But if there's nothing else, apart from the din of Baal Tashchis, there's another inyan called Bizoy Ochlim. Means abusing food. One shouldn't walk in a place where there are crumbs on the floor. It's derogatory, it's not nice. And so the Rambam says in Hilchos Brachos Perek Zayin Achates that there's an additional issur here that it's derabbanon. Why? Because you are stepping on Hashem's goodness, which He's given to you. There is a custom brought down by the Ben Ish Chai that on the night preceding a bris, a table is laid with lots and lots of flowers and it's set in dough and fruit. And that dough and fruit really can't be eaten as a result of the fact that it's part of a decoration. And he in fact says we should tell off people who are doing this because he says it's an unwanted destruction of food. There are some kinds of things you might do with food which have a useful purpose even though you're not eating them. Like if you've got stains on your skin and you find that rubbing lemon on it will help, then that's okay because it's a tzurach. It's a need and a necessity, says the Magen Avraham, the nako skufo, to clean his body, and therefore it's okay. What about this practice that children might do? They cut potatoes and they paint patterns and they use them as all kinds of for stamps and so on. Potatoes are food. Would that be okay? It seems, according to what the Ben Ish Chai had said, that it's not okay. Although there's the Sefer Birkas Hashem, which says, brings down sources, that if the food is still raw, then there would be a heter for it. Because it's not yet really fit for eating, and therefore, okay. Can you glue papers together using dough? that would be another shaila, where it seems as though that might be okay. And a very interesting question which would come up nowadays is the agriculture ministries wanting to keep up prices. So as a result, they actually dispose of food or encourage farmers to get rid of food. Now, what's the inyan? I've got actually a couple of articles I've found where it was a common thing in America to get the farmers to throw away food and even to encourage them to do so in order to keep up the prices. It happened a lot in the Depression of the 1920s, where to keep up prices, farmers were throwing lots and lots of grain into the sea. And more recently there have been articles about the United States government paying farmers to dump sugar beets because there was so much supply of them, and in order to keep up the prices they would be paying the sugar beet and cane farmers to destroy some of their crops. And there is a scheme which has been going on recently in the last few years in America's agriculture department called the Payment in Kind Program, PIK. So farmers will receive PIK certificates in exchange for destroying some of their crops. Farmers will receive these PIK certificates, which represent government-owned sugar in storage. The USDA will divert 200,000 tons of government-owned sugar. Farmers will be paid up to £20,000 to destroy a portion of their beet and cane crops for that year. So it's spelled out quite openly. It's available for all to find out. Is this kind of wastage allowed? Well, these are matters which might go open to discussion on the floor, but there is an interesting Gemara in Gemara Tanis, Daf Kaf Omud Beis, which talks about Rav Huna. Every Friday he would send a messenger to the local market to buy the leftover vegetables. And what did he do with these leftover vegetables, which he didn't need and nobody else needed? He threw them into the river. You might ask, why did he throw them in the river? Because he was worried that if they're not bought in the marketplace, then the following week the market holders will not stock so much. Prices will go up and the poor people will be unable to buy their vegetables for Shabbos. So in order that the poor people can buy their vegetables for Shabbos, he bought up the vegetables which were left over and he dumped them. Oh, that was the next question, thank you. So why didn't he just give them to the poor? He was worried that they would rely on him and that they wouldn't buy, and so there might be the same result. Ah, then why wouldn't he give them to the animals to eat? There is a question about food for human beings. Can you give them to animals? Do you just give fodder to animals? Can you give better quality to animals? That's another question which comes up, and there's a lot written about this which we haven't got time for. But that's what he did. Says the Sefer Birchas Hashem, that Gemara is not enough proof for us. In the case of Gemara Tanis, he did this exercise in order to keep the prices down to help the poor people. Whereas nowadays, when they are throwing away crops in America and dumping them in the sea, they're not doing it to keep the prices down. They're doing it to keep the prices up. So there is a clear distinction between what is going on in the United States farming industry and what happened in the Gemara in Tanis with Rav Huna. Rav Eliashiv therefore gives a psak on this, that one may not do this agricultural practice of just dumping food in order to keep prices up, and that this Gemara is not a proof to justify such an activity. It's interesting because the Sefer Chok Yaakov writes that when we say Kol Chamira on Erev Pesach, we say it in Aramaic. Why do we say it in Aramaic? Because even though we have to get rid of our chometz, the bread there's something choshev about. We want to give more honour to bread, and this Ochelin applies to bread. And so we have this guilt feeling that we're doing something in wasting bread, and we don't want the mazikim, the angels who are fighting against us, to accuse us for bizarion of pas, which is the ikka of chayodom, which is the sustaining the life of a person, and that we're just annulling it. That's why we say in Aramaic that they shouldn't accuse us. And we're very particular about bread. There is this thing about covering the bread for kiddush, that we don't want to embarrass it because we're making the bracha first over the kiddush wine. And so we cover it up. We have a sensitivity to an inanimate object because bread is something which is so important. So in the same way, it's written that you may not throw food. All right, what if the food is not made dirty? So let's say you have an alfruf. Somebody is called up to the Sefer Torah before their wedding, and there's a minhag to throw food at him, whether it's sweets or nuts or whatever it is. There is one rov in a local kehillah who doesn't allow it, because it ends up lying on the Sefer Torah, and it's a bezayon to the Sefer Torah. Okay, but if let's say the Sefer Torah is closed, then it's covered up, or whatever it is, and there's some way that it's allowed, and many shuls are actually through it. Can they do this? So the minhag is, okay, the Shutz Hillel Omer says in Siman Kaf Ches, a bar mitzvah or an alfruf, okay, one can throw these foods if they are not spoiled or made dirty as a result of being thrown. Unfortunately, you afterwards walk on the shul carpet and find that treading into the carpet on, alright, you might say it's junk food anyway, which is another shaila. But what about also throwing bread? The Magen Avraham and the Taz talk about in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, bring down from the Beis Yosef, from our brochus, Daf Nun, that you don't throw bread. Not just on the floor, but anywhere. So the Magen Avraham says in Kuf Samach Zayin, Lamed Ches, that when you give out your bread at a meal, you don't throw it. You give it out in a nice, calm way. And I was once at a house, many times at a house, of a good friend of mine. His name is Johnny Wiesenberg, some of whom you know. And I was there for a Shabbos meal, and he was actually throwing the pieces of bread around the table, and I remarked him about it. Good friend of mine since the age of 4, so I had no qualms about suggesting something. And he said to me, you're not the first person to say this to me. He says, I don't know why, but I've had this handed down to me that at the Shabbos meal, there is an inyan that when you give out the bread from the Lechem Mishnah, you throw it. And I was very puzzled by this. So I looked and I looked and I found a source for this custom. And it's written, the Eishnagin, there is a custom, Shabbat Seah, Melechem Mishneh, B'Shabbos, one who gives out from the Lechem Mishneh, Zoe Kaprusa, one actually throws the portion, L'Mesubin, to those who are eating, V'Ein Choshashin B'Zel Issu. And there's no problem with this. The Shalas Tshuvas, Hisoris of Tshuvas, Simon Kuflam at base, says his father, the Kasav Sofer, used to do this, based on Gemara Sanhedrin Kuf Beis, that when you are eating the motzi, it's compared to the eating of a korban from Beis HaMikdosh, and the mitzvah of the Haktorah is with Zerika, so that the giving out the motzi is like the imurim which were thrown, and that is the honor given to the bread that is like the imurim from the korban. So there is a source to suggest that this is a perfectly valid thing to do, but only on Shabbos when you're giving out from the Lechem Mishnah, even though the Magen Avraham does not like such a practice. Zorkin. Yeah, well, the Magen Avraham is not happy about it.
It's also that because the people who didn't say it, they can't throw it. Specific to the
Mishnah,
because that's how the man came.
The man, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, when it comes to wastage, there is something written about leaving some food over on your plate so as not to look greedy, and that's not called wastage. But what do we do about our leftovers? Sometimes we've got so much when it comes to leftover food. Shul Kiddush leftovers? Beloved Malka? If the food is fit to eat, okay, if it's not fit to eat, that's no problem. But if it's fit to eat, there is a lot of wastage. There are certain caterers I know who give a lot of food left over to a local yeshiva or an old age home or whatever it is. But that is also a problem. If caterers have a lot left over, there is a question put by this Soros the Tshuva and Kosher Mishpat Lamed Hey, he says, if there is so much time involved in sorting out the food that you have to spend a lot of work power on it, that is also a cost, and therefore he justifies with some difficulty because of the tircha to get rid of the food. But what is the subject of leftovers? The custom is to dispose of food, even if it's eatable. Ah, if the food is not fresh, maybe there's a justification there. Or it's unlikely to be eaten in any case. The question is, would the poor wish to eat it in the manner it is now left? Therefore, it's no longer going to be of benefit to anybody. The Shuvas Arugas Abosim talks about cutting down a tree if the fruit that it bears is inferior, that you can cut down that tree because the fruit on it is no good in any case. Therefore, if the food which is left over is not likely to be wanted, and therefore as it stands to waste, it will eventually be going off in any case, Rav Eliashiv justifies it and says, okay, but if one can do something useful with it, one should.
Yes. Especially when it's got to be bags of bread or whatever near the bin.
Right.
Until it goes off, it's not physically thrown.
That's correct. This is the Makara Brocha in Kuf Lamed. He says bread we give a special importance to. If you do throw away bread, put it in a bag. Don't just throw it with everything else. Put it in a bag. And by putting it in a bag, you're not doing a bizoy ochlin of pus. Just like with Shemitah food, which you may not throw away, and it's got a certain kedusha about it, you put it in a bag, it goes off by itself. That is not then called wastage. An interesting shaila which I came across is a person allowed to sick up one's food in order to create an appetite to have more? This is not a very prevalent attitude, although I was once talking to a non-Jewish colleague of mine who frequently goes to the pub and told me proudly how many pints of beer he had drunk the previous evening, and I asked him, how is it possible? How is it possible to have so many pints of beer? How can you just take it in your bladder? He said, oh, it's quite simple. When we're halfway through, we go to the gents, we put our fingers on our tongue and we sick it up, and then we come back and drink more. I couldn't believe it. Simon Shunkav Chesif Lamates. This is a hefsad ochlin. This is osur. You may not sick up food in order to create an appetite. However, if you're coming to stay the night and you don't have an appetite, and by sicking up the food, however you might achieve it, you will achieve the appetite in order to do the mitzvah of matzas mitzvah, then that would be okay because it's in order to do a mitzvah. I found in the Arach Meshorim Simon Kaftes something where he says if you overeat, if you eat more than you have to eat, that is wastage of food. It's bal tashchis. And therefore there is an issur in overeating. Alright, I might be entering some controversial topics now, because what if, for example, you choose to eat an expensive food rather than a cheaper food? Is that called bal tashchis? So you're spending more money in order to eat the more expensive food. Well, that's okay. You are allowed to eat the more expensive food rather than the cheaper food because it's called eating in the normal way. That's the derech achila. But what about junk food? What about food which you know will harm your health? Do we say that that food, since it harms your health, can be disposed of? Or do we say, well, it's still got a market value, somebody might buy it, and therefore it's a wastage? But obviously Rabbi Nosson, Kavvav Memhei, talks about this, that if you eat food which harms your health, you are transgressing three different prohibitions. Number one, it's a self-abuse. You're harming yourself. Shmatim is nafshas seichem. Two, you are abusing food. And three, he says, you're making an invalid bracha. Because if you're making a bracha on something which is harming you, then that bracha shouldn't really be said. But the question is, what is junk food and what isn't junk food? Our Chassid Shalom never suggests that a bagel which is made with white processed flour is junk food, because Chassid Shalom, how could you have a bagel shear without bagels? Ah, maybe the hole in it is good for you. Now, we have to start a campaign to have wholemeal bagels. Now, if you have, say, leftovers or whatever, let's say you've got Diet Coke, which contains aspartame, where they've done research on rats to find that it could cause chas v'shalom cancer, can you chuck it away? I haven't found anything specifically written on this, but I think it's more of a topic for discussion than one to give a psak on. But we spoke earlier about the spilling of the Havdalah wine. The Gemara in Erevin in Samachai actually encourages this, that when you fill up your Havdalah cup, kol she'eino yayin nishbach b'soch b'esod k'mayim eino b'chal brocha, that it's a brocha to spill a bit of the wine because that is to be a brocha for the household. And then the Ramah brings that down in Reish Samach Vav, that you may spill it. but you only spill a little bit, you're not spilling much. And of course when you put out the Havdalah candle, you spill a bit of the wine in order to put out the candle in it. And the Ramah says, that is just to show it's for a mitzvah, and therefore it's okay. Yeah, then 10 plagues on Seder night. We spill the wine. Ramah says this in Siman Torah and Gimel at the end, that you spill a little bit of wine with each plague. Some people do it with their fingers. And when I was a very little child, after doing it with the fingers, I used to lick my finger. And my father's all told me off. He says, you're licking the plagues, the blood from the plagues, so you better not do that. In fact, also when you at a chasna and you fill up the cup for the brachas, there is a custom to overflow the cup. The Rav Yos says this in Kuf Lama Gimel Kaf. Although I can never understand it, why people bring red wine to a chuppah, because if something spills on the colour's dress, it would be terribly embarrassing for her. And I can't understand it, why they don't use white wine. There is also a shaila in the Chemdas Shol and Gimel about if you've got lots of fruits, and there are a substantial number which have worms in them, and you haven't got time to check them all, you can throw the whole lot away. That's not called bal tashchis, where there's a chashash that you might come to eat toloim. Similarly, when you're preparing for Pesach, it's the custom to throw away lots of foods which are not chometzdik foods, but opened packets, and you don't want them having hanging around. There might be some chometz in them, there might not be. And even though they're non-chometz foods, there is a practice, the minhag olam is to throw these foods away. Sorry? Or sell it. Is it a saleable commodity? So the Haggadah of the Mardim Uzmanim La'alocha actually suggests that you don't burn your chometz earlier than the fifth hour. The minhag is to burn the chometz on Erev Pesach on the fifth hour. So he suggests don't do it earlier, because then you might be considered as doing a bal tashchis. Whereas by the fifth hour you can no longer eat it at all, and then you are mukhruch to burn it. Another interesting question, what if a person is secretly fasting, but he doesn't want people to know that he's fasting? Whether it's teshuva or he's had a bad dream, I don't know what it is. The Steichemel asks this question, so he served some food, so he wants to do a little conjuring trick and dispose of the food that nobody notices. Can he do that? The answer is yes, he may do that. In order not to show off that he is fasting, he doesn't want to draw attention to himself, it's okay. So, there is some food for thought. I find it interesting that in the whole of the Hebrew language, there is no word for the phrase to have. If you want to say, I have something, all you can say is yeshli, which means there is to me. It's relevant to me. Nothing really belongs to us. Somebody once said to me, he asked me a question, can you think of a mitzvah where we're taught that nothing belongs to us? It was the parsha of Vayikra, so I said the Korbanos. And he said, can you think of any more? And as I started chatting with him about it, we realized that every single mitzvah, virtually every single mitzvah, we can learn a lesson that nothing really belongs to us. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is really the fundamental idea, that we're told not to waste anything. It's not ours in any case. And it belongs to Hashem. And we have to therefore treat everything with respect, hence the din of Bal Tashchis, so much so that not only is it in Isur Lav, but there is the Bizoy Ochlin as well, and there is the Sakana which we're worried about, which derives from it. Thank you very much.